Amen. You can take your Bibles tonight and turn to James chapter number 3. James chapter 3. The chorus of that song, it says, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. You know why you can't? Because you're a sheep, and sheep are not meant for carrying things. And so we have to have somebody bear the load for us, bear our burdens for us. And I'm thankful that he does it. Amen. Because sometimes it feels like he definitely shouldn't in our lives. But he does it for us anyway. Amen. James chapter number 3. And I'm going to just read verse 17 through 18, I think, here tonight to start things off. Verse number 17 of chapter 3, James chapter 3, 17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much tonight that you are a God of peace. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that cares about us, that cares about the burdens that we have to carry, Lord, and that you're willing to take the burden from us and that you're willing to take the sin burden from us, Lord, and redeem us unto yourself. Lord, we thank you so much for the truth tonight that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're on our way to heaven. Lord, that it's not something you toy with us about, but Lord, that once we're saved, we're always saved. We've received that gift of salvation. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to dwell together in unity tonight as we think about you and we have the mind of you. Lord, as we go through the message tonight, Lord, I pray that you would put your hand upon the message, Lord. They're just words here I have on paper, Lord, until you do something with them. And Lord, I pray that you would use them in a powerful way tonight. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight that does not know you as personal Savior, Lord, that they put their faith and trust in you and you alone today. Lord, we thank you and praise you for all that you do. Lord, I pray you'd again be with our pastor and Miss Melva as they're away. Keep them safe, Lord, on the road and bring them back to us safely. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. On Sunday morning, we began to look at another one of the names or titles of God. Jehovah Shalom, God is peace. We saw that once we are saved, we have peace with God, and until salvation, we are the enemies of God. We then saw that because of the salvation that we have received as a free gift, we can now be partakers of the peace of God. This is a supernatural peace, a peace that cannot be explained, and a peace that knows no end. Or as the Bible puts it, it's a peace of God which passeth all understanding. Finally, Sunday morning, we looked at living a life of peace in God, keeping our minds and affections set on things above rather than things on this earth, keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is our peace. The title of the message Sunday morning was A Peaceful Heart. Tonight, we're going to continue to look at the peace of God, or God of peace, rather, and what he can do for us in our lives. The title of the message tonight is A Peaceful Home. Homes today are a mess. Can I get a witness? Can someone say amen? Amen. Homes today are a mess. The lack of peace in America today is not the cause of chaos, but rather the effect of broken homes. You see, without the home being right, the nation cannot be right. Even in public, you will see husbands and wives fighting and arguing. How many of you have seen that? You've seen husbands and wives at each other's throats in public. It's like, what are you doing? This is not the time. This is not the place for you to be having that kind of a conversation. But we see that in public. Children can be heard dishonoring and talking back to their parents and all sorts of disunity. In fact, somebody here a while back, I gave an example like with our son, Caden. He's old enough for us now that we... And I know this goes over live stream, but he'll get a whooping if he's done something wrong. We tell him no, and we call him whoopings around our house. And if he's watching me right now, he knows what I'm saying. And he's probably hiding somewhere. But no, he doesn't like to have to get a whooping, right? None of us do. None of us like that, especially as adults when God has to whoop us for something. But he has that as part of his life, as part of his upbringing. That's something that's going to try to teach him some things. And as we look at this home today, the children in America, they can be heard dishonoring and talking back to their parents and all kinds of those things. But we're not going to allow that. We don't want to allow that to just happen in our home, right? We want to try to
dole out a little punishment for something like that. And so we see that going on in America today. The typical home is in America is broken and dysfunctional, which is just the effects of a lack of peace. But may I say that many of the problems that that can be seen in families around our country today can also be found in our churches. Without peaceful homes, how can we have a peaceful church? Our text says in the end of the verse there, in verse 17, it says, "And without hypocrisy." But you see, too many families are at home arguing, fighting, and being downright mean to one another at home, and then show up at church with a smile and a spring in their step, right? They go from the car and they're screaming and hollering at each other, and one of them's reaching over and hitting the other with a hairbrush, and you know, they got all these things going on and things are flying, and then they pull up to church and it's like, "Hi, we're here." That's how we are. That's how we are. We're a lot of times hypocrites in the way that we live our lives. As James says earlier in the chapter, we find in our text tonight, in verse number 10, if you look at it with me, chapter 3, verse number 10, it says, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." How absurd is it that those who use their tongues in prayer and praise should ever use them in cursing, slandering, and the like? If we bless God as our Father, it should teach us to speak well of and kindly to all who bear His image. Amen. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." But see, I think a lot of times what happens in church is people are happy in church, they come to church and they speak well of it, and then they go home and they say, "Man, church was such a drag today." They do that in front of their kids. They say, "Man, pastor, he was so long today." Or, "Man, I just didn't understand what he was getting at today. This was just no good today." Or, "Man, I really wish we could sing some of that new music, some of that that more upbeat, that bigger stuff. We want to try and do something different." And they'll kind of blessing at church and then kind of cursing at home. It's not a good look for your children to see that. Now, it isn't always easy, but it is what God wants from His children, is to esteem others better than themselves. And now, with all this in mind, we're not looking at the house tonight. We're not looking at the house of God, but we're looking at the home, a peaceful home. And so tonight, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 19, and we'll try to make good time here tonight. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 19, and also Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all right? So Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 19, it says, Husbands, read this line with me here, okay? Men, all men, because you may be a husband one day or you may have been a husband, all right? So read this line together. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Let's say it again. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. We begin with the husband, the head of the home. He is the physical leader as he protects and guards his family from dangers without and within. He is the spiritual leader as he wards off wickedness from this world and that tries to infiltrate his home. And he is to be the provider, as God tells us in 1 Timothy 5:8. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially those for of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." But notice what he says here as you turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Hold your place in Colossians. Ephesians chapter 5. He says the same thing. Verse number 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And I'll tell you ahead of time, ladies, now's your chance to be saying amen, okay? Talking about the husbands. And then husbands, you'll get your chance in a little while. All right? And don't hate me, please. All right? Love your wives. What does it mean to love? Well, Ephesians, as we just read, 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge and give honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of faith, that your prayers be not hindered." Love is an action. Love is an action. Christ loved the church, and therefore he gave his life for it. So as we love our wives, that is a sacrificial love. We give of ourselves. We try to do things for them out of the goodness of our heart, out of the kindness of our heart as we love them. But we show them in our action that we love them. But notice it says, and gave himself for it. In verse number 25 of Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ did so much more than just die for our sins. Not to say that his death wasn't a blessing beyond all blessings and a gift beyond all human merit, but his blessings do not stop there. Amen? God didn't just say, now you're saved and that's it. And now you just live your life and try your best and do what you can and I'm going to leave you to yourself. No, he gives you blessings on top of that sacrifice. And can I say this, men, be very careful that you do not forget the weightier matters of your relationship with your wife. I understand that maybe overtime looks great, but unless you really need that overtime, you should spend some time with your family. You should spend some time with your wife. You should be able to spend that time together and grow together, that relationship. Yes, as you're providing for them, yes, you should. If you've got to go get two jobs, you provide for that family. You provide for your wife and your kids. But don't forget them. Don't leave them out. It says, love your wives, and gave himself for it. There's so much more than just the sacrificial love that goes into being married. In fact, in verses 26 through 28, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it, meaning the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Notice it says, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Men, I think we should be trying to share the Bible with our wives. It's great when you see those, I always kind of make fun of them really, but there's pictures on Facebook and things, and it's a lady, she's going to put her picture up of her Bible study, and she's got her coffee mug, and she's got her little notebook out, and she's got, you know, this out, and this out, and this out, and she takes her picture, and then she does her Bible study and all those things. That's great. Ladies, you should have a Bible study. But men, you should be able to be there for your wife too when she has a question. When she needs something spiritual, when she needs some spiritual leadership. And that's what Christ is trying to do for us, is he's sanctifying us and cleansing us with the washing of water by the word. He's trying to teach us things from his word about himself. And so this is a way indeed for you to show her that you love her. When you try to help her with the Bible, when you try to show her those things, you're supposed to be the head. You're supposed to be that teacher, that leader. Why? So that when she can be holy and without blemish before God. And so if we are going to have a peaceful home, we must listen to what God, the God of peace, instructs us to do in each role of the home and put it into action. Man, I believe we should be that spiritual leader, and we should show our wives we love them through our action. But love is not just an action. In Colossians, we were there. Love is an attitude. Love is an attitude. Colossians 3:19. Notice the wording. It says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter. Be not bitter. Now, this implies a few things to me. Number one, there will be times when you want to be bitter at your wife. Amen? There will be times, and wives, there will be times for you to be upset with your husbands as well. We'll get to that. But there will be times where you were going to be inclined in our human flesh to be bitter toward them, okay? But it also means to me this. It is possible to love them and be bitter at the same time. It says in verse 19, love your wives, check, and be not bitter against them. It's adding something else to this. It's saying, hey, you're supposed to love them. You're supposed to have action behind your love. But then there's also attitude behind the love. It is possible to love them and be bitter at the same time. You can provide and you can try to lead and you can try to be a spiritual leader and you can love beyond all merit and you can still be bitter against them. Husbands, we got to work on that. That's something we have to be careful of. Men, if you want to be married one day, young men, if you want to be married one day, you're going to have to be careful about that. Now, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe that you can be loving and be bitter all at the same time, ask someone who has been a caretaker for a loved one before. They get burned out. They get overwhelmed. They're emotionally exhausted. And if they're not careful, they can become bitter towards the person they love. They don't quit caring. They don't quit doing for them. They don't quit providing for them. My father-in-law would be a perfect example. He had to tell his dad every day that he had cancer treatments. He'd be riding to the hospital, and his dad would say, "Where are we going, son?" He'd say, "Well, we're going to your cancer treatment, or we're going to the cancer center, Dad." He'd say, "You got cancer, son?" He said, "No, Daddy, you got cancer." And he had to deal with that every single day. And his dad would cuss him. His dad would get mad at him. His dad would have all these things that would come over him. And if my father-in-law wasn't careful, he'd become bitter. He still loves him, still provides, still cares, still goes to work. Husbands, you can still go to work. You can still go provide and go 40 hours a week and go to the overtime and do all the things. But you can't allow yourself to get bitter toward your wife. So love is an attitude. It's an action, but then also love is an armor. It is our job as husbands to protect and defend our homes. Romans 12:18, it says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Now, I understand we're looking in this series at the God of peace and how He can help us to have a peaceful home if we just do what His Word says. And I know it sounds very cut and dry and simple, and it's not always that easy, but if we do what His Word says, we can try to have a peaceful home. But in Jude 1:3, it says that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. There will be times in the home that it is your job as the husband, as the head, to try to keep the peace. But there will also be times when you must earnestly contend, resist, take on, face, withstand for your family. Don't allow your children to take control of the home. Don't allow Satan to infiltrate the home. It may not be peaceful for you sometimes when you're having to fight and fight and fight, and it seems like there is no peace, but you are contending for the faith. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Do your best to live peaceably, but when they get into your home, when they're trying to infiltrate your home, hey, you might have to break some things up. You might have to tear some things down. You might have to make some changes in your home as you earnestly contend for them. Don't give in. Remember Eli? He allowed his children to just kind of do whatever they wanted, and they were in the ministry. And he allowed them to just kind of do what they wanted, and it didn't turn out so well. And you got to fight for what's yours. Your family is yours. God is a jealous God, right? He doesn't want that praise, that glory going anywhere else. God's a jealous God. You should be kind of a jealous husband. This is my family, and nobody's touching my family. Nobody's messing with my family. This is my home. Nobody's getting in unless I allow them.
That's right.
Number two, Ephesians chapter 5, you're there. Ephesians chapter 5. So we looked at a little bit at the husband, all right? And hey, this will not be everything there needs to be said about husbands. I didn't talk about husbands, fathers provoking not their children to wrath and all those different things. There are things that you can look into for yourself about how we can be men that can keep the peace in our home. But number two, we're going to look at the wife. We're going to look at the wife. Verse number 22 of chapter 5. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." As the husband is the leader of the home, the wife is the follower and helper. She is to be there for him as he is to her. She is to be his biggest cheerleader. I like that phrase, to be his biggest cheerleader. It's a sad thing. Wives and husbands, when you're out and you're talking to somebody, and it may happen here from time to time jokingly, but wives, you shouldn't tear down your husband in front of people. If you have to correct your husband on something or you want to tell him something, you tell him that in private. You can talk to him in private. You can give him wisdom. In Proverbs 31, there was a wise wife. There was a wise woman there who could share some things. But wives, you shouldn't tear your husband down in front of people. And again, husbands, you shouldn't do that to your wife. You should never embarrass your spouse. Amen? Y'all can say amen, all right? You should never embarrass your spouse. Don't tear him down. And as we do that, the wife, she is a cheerleader for the husband. She should be cheering him on, saying, "Hey, honey, you're doing a good job. You're doing a great job at work. Hey, I see all the effort that you're putting into that. You know, husbands, we need some of that sometimes, right? How many of you husbands have ever done the dishes? All right. There's a lot of good husbands here. Amen. If you've done the dishes before, chances are you probably went in there, you did them, and then you said, hey, honey, come here. Come look at this. Come look what I did. Right? And you want to show it off. You want to say, hey, look what I did. And you want a little praise, those words of affirmation, right? That's how we are as men. The wife, she changes the diapers. She does the laundry. She does the cleaning. And you're just like, man, I saw this thing. It was about this. It said there's a magic table in this living room here. And the man there, he says, he's telling his wife about it. And he says, every night before I go to bed, I leave my drink out here. And I leave trash on this table, and every morning when I wake up, it's gone. It's always gone, and I don't know what happens to it. It's always gone. The wife doesn't say, hey, honey, wake up. Come look at this. Come look what I did. I cleaned up your mess, right? The wives don't do that, but the men do that. But see, as they're your cheerleader, they cheer for you. They say, hey, good job, honey. You're doing a good job with that. I see what you're doing there. I see the hard work you're putting into this family. I see what you're trying to do for us. Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. A help meet. Meet for every need that a man will have. That's what he wanted to do. He was looking at Adam there, and Adam was getting himself into trouble, and he was, probably didn't happen exactly like this, but maybe Adam was tying monkey tails together, and he's getting himself into trouble, and God said, oh, no, it's not good that man's alone. I'm going to give him somebody to help him out here. Right, he's going to kill himself. But I'm wanting to help man. And listen, man is not made better than a woman, but he's made better with a woman. Amen? He's not made better than a woman, but he's made better with a woman. God said it's not good that man should be alone. And so he gives him someone who can meet all of his needs. Woman was made for the man. Made for the man, to help the man, to be that cheerleader for the man. And then it says, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In our world today, there is much confusion as to who should be in charge of the home. The Bible's clear in verse 23. This is not me speaking. This is not my opinion. This is the Word of God. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, what does it mean to submit? Well, it means to accept or yield to the will of another person. You may say, well, he won't lead me. He won't lead me. He won't guide me. He won't be that person that he needs to be. He won't be the husband he's supposed to be. Well, could it be that you haven't taken your hand off the steering wheel long enough for him to try? Could it be that you're not allowing him to lead you? Could it be that you need to just look at this and say, Lord, help me to submit. Help me to submit. And again, I'm not talking about submitting to abuse or submitting to all those different things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about submitting to your husband. She is to be as the church is to Christ, as she submits, as we as a church, we submit to Christ and we allow God to take control of our lives. That's what she's trying to do for her husband, just as we are to be subject unto Christ. Wives are to be subject unto their husbands. You will possess more influence and respect from your husband the more that you submit to him. Submission isn't always going to be easy. In fact, most of the time it won't be easy. As humans, we're just kind of hard-headed. We all are, right? Men especially. But it's not always going to be easy. But if you want a peaceful home, it will be a priority in your life. As a wife, and just imagine if your husband, he gets mad and he wants to argue about something. He wants to argue and you just say, yes, honey. Yes, honey, I understand. I understand, baby. That's all you say? Where's the argument going to be? How's there going to be any fighting, right? You're going to have some peace that you're trying to contribute there. And then in verse 33, this one's interesting. It says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence. In Hebrews 12:28, it talks about reverence and godly fear. Reverence is not merely an outward expression of an inward attitude of the heart, but is not merely that, but an inward attitude of the heart that acknowledges God's supreme authority and holiness. You see, submission and reverence, they must go hand in hand. I've heard it said that reverence is to submission what honor is to obedience. 1 Peter 3:5, it says, "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." Now, wives, I'm not saying you got to go home and call him Lord at the house, right? That's not what you got to do. But she was in obedience to Abraham. She left the family there. She left the things that were going on there. And she said, "You know what? I'm going to trust my husband. I'm going to submit to him, and I'm going to obey. And I'm honoring him in that." In fact, take your Bibles for this. I wasn't sure if I was going to mention this or not, but 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2. We're going to look at something quickly, and then we'll move on. Might skip down through some of the things I have here. But 1 Peter chapter number 2. It's not going to be easy, like I said, to submit. It's not going to be easy to reverence. It's not going to be easy to, again, it's just like if your husband, going back to correcting them, if your husband's telling a story and he says, he's trying to tell a funny story and he says, "Yeah, the other day, it was on Friday, we were heading toward the, we were heading this way and it was 12 o'clock in the afternoon," and you'd stop him and say, honey, it was 11:30. It wasn't 12, it was 11:30. You're right, honey. All right. And we went to McDonald's for lunch. No, honey. We went to Burger King. Do you want me to tell the story? Right? That's not very nice. No one likes it when someone does that. Do you want someone to do that to you? Do unto other as you esteem other better than yourself? And so we should try to strive for that. As you submit in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, I want you to look at our Lord. In fact, verse number 1 of chapter 3, read that first. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." It's talking about even if your husband's not a believer, even if your husband's not following what God says, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Verse number 21 of chapter 2, it says likewise in the first verse. And so you go back to see what likewise is about. Verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls likewise." God saying, women, wives, as you submit to your husbands, you are likewise being like Christ. You're not, hey, when your husband says something, when he misspeaks, when he does something wrong, or when he says something the wrong way, or maybe he's rude to you, or whatever it may be, it says that, hey, try to be like Christ. He reviled not back. He didn't open his mouth against them. Because guess what? Wives, your husband is going to say something dumb. I'm going to say something dumb. And I'm going to need probably somebody to correct me, but God didn't say for it to be you, right? And so as we try to submit, it's not always easy. It's not going to be easy. But you submit to your husband, you love your husband, you love your family. In fact, I find it funny in Titus 2:4, it says that they may teach the younger, the aged women, that they may teach the younger to be sober, to love their husbands. You're going to have to be taught to love your husband. Because we, most of the time, we're slobs. We're not much fun to live with. We're not much fun to try to take care of. But you're going to have to love them. Remember, love is an action, an attitude, and an armor. As you protect your family, as you protect your children, Think of a mama bear as she protects her cubs. Try to be like that for your family. All right, and so as you do that, as you fulfill your role as a wife, and as you fulfill your the role as a husband, you will begin to see peace in your home. And then Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Just as every piece of a puzzle has a place, children have a place in the effort of finding peace in the home. Children can make or break the peace. I think about riding down the road. We can be having such a great time, Patty and I. We're just riding down the road. We're talking. Maybe we're listening to the music. And then one of the kids starts crying. They start fussing and they break the peace. And if I'm not careful, I'll get upset and then I might snap at Patty instead of handling it the right way, right? Or she may snap, and that's how we get. And so the children can make or break the peace, crying, fussing, arguing. But notice it says obey. We'll move very quickly. Children, obey. Simply put, do what you're told when you're told. Obeying the commandments or commands of your father or mother is something that can bring great peace to a home. Just do it. Just listen. Just do as you're told, when you're told to do it. Children are such a big part of our lives as parents. We want them to have friends and play sports and go to the good schools. And we want them, we will make such great sacrifices for them to have these things. Why? Because we love them. And so you know why you should obey your parents, children. Well, firstly, it says you're commanded to, children, obey your parents. But then it shows you that you love them. It shows them that you love them, rather, because you love them. John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's Jesus saying, "Hey, if you love me, keep my commandments." And so you can say to your children, "Hey, if you love me, show me. Keep what I've told you to do. Take care of that." Now, if you tell them, "Hey, clean your room," go clean your room. Show them you love them. Show them you love your parents, right? 2 John verse number 6, it says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." Just as love is an action for the father and mother, love is an action for the child. It says also to honor, to show respect, highly value and esteem. You can show your honor in many ways. Listen to their advice. Ask your parents for advice. Proverbs 1, 8 through 10 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck." Here's what their advice is. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." That's good advice. Amen? You should ask for that advice. You should try to keep that advice. Keep the faith. Proverbs 23:24, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." Keep the faith. Too many children, they grow up and they just depart. They just get out of church. That's not honor. In fact, I'd say that's not obedience, but that's not honor. Honoring what they've taught you, honoring them as they have shown you, as they've been your leader through life. Continue in the faith. Keep the faith. But then here's another one. Forgive them. Forgive them. Colossians 3:13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another." That can mean children to parents. "If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." You know, parents, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. You've heard about the guinea pig child, right? The first child. That's your guinea pig child. You're trying to figure out how to do this, how to handle this. I was asked before Patty and I got married, "Are you ready to get married?" I said, "I don't know. I ain't been married before. How do I know if I'm ready to get married? Never done it." And then they ask you, "Are you ready to have kids?" I can tell you now, no. "Are you ready to have kids?" "I don't know. Haven't done it." So you're going to make mistakes. And as parents, maybe your children are out the house and you can think back and say, "Yeah, I made mistakes. I had times where I failed." Children, you have to be willing to forgive. Forgive your parents. Now, I'm not saying that it's your job to point out their mistakes. Don't get me wrong, kids. It's not your job to point out the mistakes. But you should forgive them when they do have something come up and they've made a mistake. We will make mistakes, but we will always, I can guarantee you, your parents, we are always trying to do what's best and what's right for you. So back in James chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable." This is wisdom from God's word on how to be a husband. How to be a wife, how to be a child. It also says in that verse, verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. You want to have a peaceful home? You have to pay attention to the wisdom from God's word, the wisdom that is from above. And apply these things to your life. The God of peace, if you want to have that peaceful home, you must be willing to play your part and fulfill your role. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit and revere your husbands. Children, obey and honor your parents. It's so simple, right? Yet so difficult. But Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, has peace to give. Let Him make your home a peaceful one. Let's bow for a word of prayer. God wants you to have a peaceful home. Just as we preach on Sunday morning, He wants you to have a peaceful heart. He wants you to have peace with Him, have His peace, have peace in Him. But here tonight, could it be that your home lacks peace? I don't know. I wasn't with you on the way here. Maybe there was arguing. Maybe there was fighting at the house. Maybe there's something unsettled this day, something today that you need to get settled with somebody or settled at the altar. But your home may lack peace. Or could it be tonight that you want to have a peaceful home, but you just don't know where to start? Well, start by doing what God said for you to do in your role. That'll be a helpful way to find peace. But maybe you don't have peace in your home at all because you don't have peace in your heart with God. And there is no peace outside of God. But there's no better time to be saved than now. If there's anyone here tonight who can say, I can do a better job. I can do a better job of trying to be a better husband or a better wife or a better child to my parents. I want to try and work on that. I want to try to help bring peace to my home. If there's anyone like that tonight, if you'd raise your hand and say, I want to do a better part, a better job in my role. Amen. And then if there's anyone here tonight that could raise their hand and say, I'm just not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure I have peace with God. Is there anyone like that here tonight? If you just lift up your hand, every head bowed, every eye closed, anyone like that? If you need to come to the altar tonight, the altar will be open. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for who You are. Thank you that You're a God of peace. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here tonight who does not have peace in their home, Lord, that they would start today, following Your word on how to be the husband or the wife or the child that they need to be. And Lord, if maybe someone's here tonight and they're no longer a husband or a wife, maybe they're widowed or divorced, Lord, I pray that You would help them to be able to teach those precepts to their children and their grandchildren. Help them to be able to show them that this is what God's word says about being a husband or a wife or a child. Lord, I pray that You bless our time together in invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. If everyone will stand, grab a hymnal, and turn to number 592, Jesus I Come, 592. And if any of you need to come to the altar tonight, the altar is open and it's available for you. And if you need to come speak with me, if you want to ask me anything, or if you aren't sure that you're on your way to heaven, you can come see me tonight and I can show you how to know that you're on your way to heaven. I'll be right down front as we sing on 592.